Please pray with me. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are to come this morning to celebrate that which is true for an eternity, for a risen Savior. Father, we ask that you would give us great grace in receiving your word this morning, and that you would open our minds and our ears and our hearts to hear, that we might receive your good truth, and having received it, to depend upon it deeply. Because you are a great God to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For Peter, one of the great possessions of the resurrection was living hope. The hope that it gives to God's people as we make our way through life and challenge. But hope is hard to find sometimes. It's hard to hold on to. Some years ago, the singer-songwriter Steve Taylor wrote these words in a song about hope. He said, "Life unwinds like a cheap sweater, but since I gave up hope, I feel a lot better. And the truth gets blurred like a wet letter, but since I gave up hope, I feel a lot better. While the world winds down to a final prayer, nothing soothes quicker than complete despair. I predict by dinner I won't even care, since I gave up hope, I feel a lot better." Satirical. But there is this challenge, isn't there? This challenge to believe, to hope when hope is dim, is a challenge for us. But God in the resurrection proves to us a hope that is worthy. In Peter's word, a living hope that is worthy. And that's one of the great gifts of Jesus' resurrection. As believers, as those who come before Christ, as those who may be this morning considering the claims of Christ, the thing that separates Christianity is the resurrection. The cross is our hope because one stood in our place. The resurrection is an exclamation to that point because God affirmed the work of Jesus and raised him up in our place. Do you ever wrestle with hope? Are there things in your lives that keep hope at bay? You know, we live in a culture that sometimes brings opposition to the things of Christ or the beliefs of Christ. And so sometimes, because Christians hold fast to a claim of Christ, we feel marginalized in society. There are cultural claims that would diminish hope in Christ. Sometimes it has social implications on our lives, don't we? Sometimes when we walk into the world, we walk into a new place, we wonder what we lead with. Do we lead with our greatest hope, or do we wait and see how people respond to us? But the resurrection is a hope for now and for eternity. For some of us, it's just those moments of darkness in our own soul. The downward doubts or the depression that seeks to grip us, it begins to challenge the hope that God gives. But Peter was a man who knew hardship, he knew struggle, he knew suffering, he knew doubts, but he also knew a resurrection that sustained him, a hope that would hold him fast. And I want you to see in this text this morning that despite the emotions and the expectations and the dashed dreams that can often be thwarted in our lives, there is something that holds us fast in the hope of Christ, the power of the resurrection. And that resurrection work in our lives today. And so I ask you this morning, is the resurrection of Christ making a difference in your life? And here's why it should, according to Peter. Because our hope is living, durable, and certain in the risen work of Jesus. Notice this morning in our text, I want you to see how Peter speaks to hope. He sees the hope that is purchased. He sees a hope that is perfected. He sees a hope that is sustained because it is protected for us this morning. Notice there in verse 3, first of all, a purchased hope. You know, hope's like a lot like a leaky tire. Sometimes it just begins to diminish and we don't understand why. About 6-8 weeks ago, I was driving one cool morning in the little light that tells you how the pressure in your tires are, that light came on. And it lifted all the tires and told me the pressure. And it was a cool morning, so all the tires were left. But one was about 5 pounds lower than all the other. They had 30, 29, 30, 24. It's like, huh, that's a little odd. So I pulled into Discount Tire where I got the tire. Said, could you fill them up for me? He fills them up. He says, you got one that's a little low. You might want to keep an eye on that. Thinking the same thing. And so I go on, just riding down the road. And a couple of weeks go by, and all of a sudden that sensor comes on again. You know that little sensor that blinks? Tire warning. That's what mine says. Tire warning. I looked again, and all the tires had lost a bit of pressure, but there that tire was down again. That back driver's side tire was down to 24 pounds. It's like, well, I really don't have time to go in and sit there as they fix this thing. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pull through, have it filled up, and then I'll be on my way. And you know what happens? Every week or so, I'm back in there getting that tire filled. Until this week, I finally took it in. I think I've got a problem with my tire. It seems to have a slow leak, and they gave it a look, and they said, yep, you've got a leak. You've got a problem. Now, thankfully, they warrantied a good portion of that tire, and I didn't have to pay the whole price. But what I found oftentimes, that's why we celebrate the resurrection, by the way, week by week. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. And Easter, we come this season, we celebrate the majesty of what Jesus did, suffering, dying, going to the tomb, being risen again for us, because we have a purchased hope. But if we're true, sometimes it just kind of leaks. Our hope in the purchased life that God has given us. But it's exactly what Peter wants us to hold on to. He wants us to be reminded of the blessing that God has given us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the resurrection is God's grace and peace to us. It's a great mercy. Notice in our text there, it is a mercy. It's a great mercy according to the work of Christ and to the one who has caused us to be born again. This resurrection is to us, we're told in this text, a living hope. One that continues to grow and sustain the heart of the one who trusts in Jesus. A living hope. The truth this morning is that we know by the truths of God's Word that Jesus is not fertilizer for the daisies. No, He arose. He stood up from the grave. And that's where we place our hope, because the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the power that is at work in those who believe. Notice, it was that power that has caused us to be born again to a living hope. God took the initiative. In the resurrection, He fulfilled what He had promised. Life to His Savior and life to us forevermore. You ever wrestle with doubt? You ever lack hope? Well, the beauty of this passage is that our hope is found in something substantive, something objective, something real, the reality of Jesus getting up out of the grave and coming in power for His people. Now, I find it very helpful, particularly as we've been studying the book of Acts, to realize that it's Peter who writes this book. It's Peter who wants us to have that living hope of the power of the resurrection. He certainly had known something of dashed hopes. He had run in before Jesus. He was one who was to give it all for Jesus. And that night of Jesus' arrest, it was Peter who chopped off the ear of Malchus. Jesus reached down, blew it off, put it back on, and said, "Not this way, Peter." And that seemed to disorient Peter. Disorient his hopes that he really understood the man that he had come to call king. As a matter of fact, in the hours to come, it was Peter, when Jesus was arrested and taken into a courtyard where he would be tried, it was Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. "I don't know this cat. I got nothing to do with this man." It was Peter who stood helpless as Jesus was hung on a cross, dead and buried. It was the women who went to the tomb on that resurrection morning. It was Peter who was in disbelief, we're told in Luke 24, and he ran to the tomb to see. There he marveled. But where do we find Peter after the resurrection? He's gone back to be a fisherman. Jesus had to pull him out of the water to reconcile his heart to the truths of the resurrection and the promises, the living hope of the promises of God. That's the one who speaks to us this morning, who knows the bounty of having failed Jesus, but also being reclaimed by Jesus. It's that apostle who says to us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy." Peter knew that mercy. That He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance. You see, Peter had learned post-resurrection the reality of Jesus and the promise of holding fast to what was his. Not only was it a purchased hope because Jesus had stood in his place as he has stood in our place for life in eternity, but it was a secure hope. Notice here how durable this hope is. It is perfected according to verse 4. Notice, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for us. It's this mastery of God's work. Some years ago, a man named John Paul Sartre, he wrote a play called No Exit. It was a play about hell. In Sartre's mind, he was not a believer, but in Sartre's mind, hell was something that had to be grappled with. And many have taken that play, he says at one point, that hell is other people. At one point, the play, in the main characters in the play, there's a man and a woman, and for eternity they're put in a room together. The man, who had played a comrade, who was known to be a hero, his life was uncovered in that room in such a way that he hadn't been a hero. He had been one who had walked out on his comrades. He had defected. He was actually not a hero, but much less than a hero. And the woman who shared the room with him, she had a sordid past. Neither wanted their past to be seen by the other, but there was no rest, and they had no eyelids. Constantly, they were uncovered before the other. And the point that Sartre makes in that play is that hell begins where hope ends. Hell begins where hope ends. And what we need to see in our text this morning is that Peter wants us to know that we have a hope that can't be diminished. It is a hope that is imperishable because of the power of the resurrection. It is a hope that is undefiled. It is permanent. It is pure. It is lasting. And it's interesting, the words that are chosen here, so great is the gift, the inheritance that God gives because of the resurrection of Christ, the hope that holds us, that it has to be spoken of in the negative. It's imperishable. Can't be destroyed. It is not only imperishable, but it is something that is lasting here. It is undefiled. It can't be polluted, according to the text. And it's unfading. It can't be tarnished. It can't be decayed. And it is kept in heaven for us. Nothing is more secure in Peter's mind than the hope of the power that the resurrection brings us to a living hope that sustains us in this life and for the life to come. You know, I think oftentimes people, when they think of heaven, they think of treasure. It's going to be better than it is now, so that's a good thing. But really the heart Peter has here is this is a lasting possession that will not be lost. It's greater than treasure. It's not something that you could just burn through, something you gain and could burn out. No, this is something that is lasting. The possession of being in Christ because of the power of the resurrection and the hope of life to come that sustains us now and into the future, it's a lasting possession that will not let up. That's how the saints of old, that's how they lived. They lived with a hope that was durable. Indestructible because of the promises of God. I love that verse in chapter 11 of Hebrews where we are told of Abraham that Abraham by faith obeyed the Lord. By faith he obeyed. When God called him out to go to a land that he didn't know, he called him out in promise. Abraham by faith he obeyed and he went. Why? Because his eyes were set upon an architect and a builder who was God. The author of Hebrews, as he continues to work his way through this hope that believers have because of the resurrected Savior, he comes to the race that Jesus ran for us. And in Hebrews 12:2, he reminds us that Jesus has gone before us. He endured our sin. He has run the race. And it is this author and perfecter of our faith that we hold fast to. Why? Because we have an inheritance in the very resurrection power of Jesus Himself. That is our living hope. When hope wanes, we need to run back to the cross and resurrection. Because the hope of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, that's what sustains us today and for days to come. It's that that is protected by our God. It's a purchased hope, a perfected hope. But also I want you to see that this hope is guarded by God. It will not fade, and it will definitely be there to the end. Notice there in verse 5, this unfading, imperishable, undefiled gift of God, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We are guarded for heaven, and heaven is guarded for us. We are guarded for our inheritance, and our inheritance is guarded for us. It's the picture here of something held in trust or a will. Now, we've been working through wills and trusts in our home, and the beauty of a will and trust is to make something legal and binding so that there is a reasonable expectation of what is wanted shall come to an end. And that's exactly the picture here. It is guarded by God to be revealed in the last day. This hope, this living hope of the power of the resurrection, that word there, guarded, that's a picture of a fortress, a fortified fortress that cannot be overthrown in attack. Of a military fortress that is guarded at every entrance and exit, that is sustained and cannot be overthrown. Here's the hope we have, the living hope we have, because of the power of the resurrection. Peter knows that while you may be overthrown and I may be overthrown, the very power of God can never be overthrown. And we are sustained by the living resurrection today that holds us fast in the hope of Christ. Step by step, He leads us. And we're called to follow Him to the end. Because this hope will sustain us. It will hold us fast in life and the love of Christ. You see, this morning we are living resurrection today because it's a truth that will not fade. It's a truth that will hold us to the end. And sometimes we substitute the best now for the best that is forever. You know, you could leave here, this community, you could leave with a handful of diplomas. You could leave with a higher paying job, a new family, a spouse who adores and loves you, children that could fill up a minivan. You could find respect. You could find prominence in some field and give yourself to great learning. That's all a part of the things we seek here in this community. And those are good things. But don't put your hope only in the here and now. Those things also can be the things that become the greatest heartache and disappointment for us. You see, the good things in life can't sustain the fullness of the promises of God or the gifts of God to His people. Why does resurrection matter? It matters because God is intent on giving life, a life that lasts, certain, durable, living. That's what we put our heart into and our hopes into. You see, there is this morning an important truth for all of us who are wrestling with life and hope. God is enough and He is sufficient. And He will not fail to keep His word and come through on His promises. Now, it is true that there are moments when our health is frail and health will fail us. But God has not failed us. He will make true His promise. There are moments when life is hard and work may seem almost unbearable. But God is there. His resurrection power is at work, and He will sustain us. It is true that our loved ones will die. And one day, unless Jesus comes again, death will claim us as well. But there is a hope beyond the grave. Because of the resurrection power of Christ, we have hope. We need to come before God again so that we're not leaky tires and we're sustained in that grace and hope. But that hope works in us and it works through us to show the resurrection power of the Savior. You see, the hope that Peter has this morning is the hope that we can walk out of here today with great joy of the newness of life that shall not be diminished, that shall be sustained, that shall hold us and keep us in the trials and tribulations of this life. Do you have hope this morning? Is there hope to sustain you? Well, the objective truth of God's Word says, yes, there is. And it's found in a person who has brought death to life and life through death to His people, that we might know the wholeness of life and the newness of life and the certainty of life. And what God wants for you to enjoy this morning is a living, durable, certain hope that sustains us as we walk by faith in His steps. Hold fast to the Savior as He holds fast to you. Resurrection teaches us that. So let's live the resurrection together. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we do come before You this morning, and we acknowledge there are moments that hope seems like a dream, something we would give up onto. But Father, we pray that You would implant in our hearts the truths of Jesus and a living hope to love Him. Father, some of us here this morning, we doubt. We're plagued with doubts about Your intent for us and Your intent for the world. And Father, I ask that You would crowd out those doubts with the beauty of resurrection. Father, would You help us to be a people who don't run from our sin or mask our sin or hide our sin, but actually run to You, to be open with You, to be exposed before You, so that we might see our need in Your great grace. Father, we pray that the great mercy of the resurrection power of Christ would become evident in our lives, that we might live with hope in the joy of Christ forever. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.